I'm Gene Kansas. You're listening to Sidewalk Radio. We explore the cultural and physical development of life in the modern city through the lens of history and the context of community. Today's show, Healthy Design, brought to you by Perkins & Will and Hirsch Bednar Associates. How often have you passed the time at the doctor's office leafing through torn edge magazines featuring last week's bad news? How long have you waited in a tiny room with nothing to do but look out of a window onto lifeless structures? And how many long corridors have you wandered down searching for the right door? Now, imagine having post-traumatic stress syndrome, where long hallways trigger fear, where dark corners potentially house bombs, and where closed doors sound alarm bells. Then, imagine that healthcare design might actually be part of the cure. Imagine a safe, comfortable, peaceful world where mental and physical stress have not only been considered, but are paramount to the critical analysis that informs the effect of therapeutic environments. Today, consider healthy design. My guests today are clinical psychologist at the Atlanta Veterans Affairs Medical Center, Edward Vega, innovative thinker and Perkins & Will architect, Matt Finn, and U.S. Marine Corps veteran, Corporal Clint McMahon. Let's start just by introducing yourself and telling people who you are and what you do.
Sure. I'm Edward Vega. I'm a psychologist, primarily working with Veterans Affairs. And so my specialty, by and large, is working with anxiety disorders, and in this case, frequently post-traumatic stress disorder.
And you were also a police officer, right?
Yes, sir, I was.
Where were you?
Cobb County, so right here in Metro Atlanta.
And how did you kind of come about the focus that you have now in your practice?
Yeah, I'd worked in a couple different areas. Part of the reason I got into policing was to help people dealing with domestic violence situations. And when I first started training as a psychologist, that was my area too. I wanted to research domestic violence, work in the prevention of violence against women, and I did for some years. After a couple of years of that, I realized that what I was working around was a lot of anxiety, trauma, and substance abuse. And I realized, okay, instead of just looking at it in only one area in domestic violence, why not look at it broadly? And so I got more interested in anxiety disorders and trauma, and then also substance abuse, something that travels along with those things quite a bit, and got actually a little broader in my focus instead of just domestic violence, trauma broadly.
How important can the design of an office building or a therapy office, how important is that to therapy? And what do you do when you have to go back out in the real world?
I mean, I think there's sort of two parts to it. One, I mean, obviously the design and the environment have a big impact on how we feel and how we're doing, and even sort of the kinds of things that that go through our mind. And so I think it's definitely great to be able to have those times where stress is lower in the environment, and so we've just got more of our own energy to do whatever. And most of the world is not like that. So we also absolutely have to be prepared for the rest of reality. And so I think it's great to have sort of a recognition and to be ready for both sets.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the more severe side of the spectrum with post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Sure.
And just some of the psychiatric background and information about that.
If you look at us realistically in life, we all need some anxiety. We all need some stress. Without stress, we couldn't get up in the morning, we wouldn't move. So we need enough stress on the system that we're energized and we're motivated. But with any kind of anxiety disorder, what happens is our brain and body start producing more anxiety than is useful. And so I'd call good anxiety the right amount that sort of gets you primed to deal with the situation. And bad anxiety, anything else, anything in excess of that. And so one of the realities is that our brain and body can get extremely active. They get really cranked up under high stress in a traumatic situation in something that's truly life-threatening, whether it's a serious car wreck or a personal assault or sexual assault or any number of things that happen in combat or in military deployments. And so the brain and body then, in that moment, gear up. They become more reactive and sort of our freeze, flight, fight, that sort of adrenalized type system in the brain and body get highly activated. And that's good for that environment. ideally...
Is it a survival mechanism?
Sure, absolutely. And for the moment, that's why it's so important, is when you get into those moments where you really don't honestly know realistically if you're going to be alive in the next 6 seconds, then you want to be on full alert and have the muscles totally energized and be ready to do whatever needs to be done to survive it. And that's a great mode while the danger is present. It's also a really painful mode if the moment passes and we stay in that. And so that's what happens with anxiety disorders in general and post-traumatic stress disorder in particular, is those systems upregulate to deal with crisis, and then generally speaking, over time, they sort of recalibrate and sort of normalize and come back down, and we just sort of call that a recovery process.
If you can talk for a minute about some of the real dangers and then some of the real optimism with the right type of environment, the right type of therapy.
The real dangers for sort of stalling out a recovery process, for somebody to really readapt and for their brain and body to recognize, sure, there's true danger in the world, and yet most of the time we're not experiencing it. Most of the time it's not happening to us. And so the real risk for that recovery process getting stalled out is essentially a high level of avoidance, where the brain and body don't get the opportunity to start re-registering or recalibrating and recognizing, okay, life is stressful a lot of the time, but normally I make it to the end of the day. Normally things go okay. And so over time, what's important is that people really re-engage in life so that the brain and body can start recognizing, okay, stressful, but not dangerous right now.
Then you meet Matt Finn.
Yeah.
Who is also a guest on this episode. Tell us a little bit about your conversations together and your thoughts on where that could possibly lead.
Sure. Yeah, so he approached me a little while back just sort of thinking about design and thinking about how he could design for reducing stress in the environment. And he'll certainly talk more about it, but sort of started looking at veterans and veterans experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder as, one, an area that's really valuable and a great set of people to be able to do some work with and to be able to help. And so he sort of opened up this dialogue, opened up this conversation about how to take an instance of people experiencing excessive anxiety, people where the anxiety system is on overload, and thinking about how to design for them in a way that can create less stress, more peace, and sort of a more therapeutic or a more healing environment.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down on the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
My name is Matt Finn, and I'm an architect. And I'm particularly interested in the interactions between what we design and the people that use them.
My name's Clem McMahon. I'm a former Marine and currently a full-time student at the Art Institute for Game Art and Design.
How did you and Matt meet?
I work part-time at a paintball place down in Forest Park, and it's called Safety Wolf. And I guess, I'm not really sure how it happened, but I guess Matt approached the owner there and brought his idea up and asked if there was any type of training that could be offered on the subject. I just happened to be working there. And so the owner talked to me about it, and I said, yeah, I was interested, and I called Matt, and we decided to meet up one weekend and talk about it, and it just kind of took off from there, and I've been on board with him ever since.
When you first met, you know, that first day, did you realize how much you had in common as designers?
Not right offhand. I think that kind of developed as the conversations went on, and especially the more that we actually had hands-on time with each other, like when we actually started doing the training that I did with Matt, we would have discussions after each session and kind of look at the different aspects of, you know, what I put him through that day and how it could apply to what he was trying to do. And that's when we really started coming together as, you know, quote-unquote designers and looking at how this could be applied.
And Matt, you're an architect. What on earth are you doing training with a U.S. Marine?
I was doing some research, just trying to understand a little bit better how the environments that we design impact the people that occupy them. And that's an infinitely complex topic. And I needed a really tangible starting point. I identified military veterans with PTSD as sort of a really good case study for a group that has something very strong in common, and that's a trauma that they've experienced in combat, but also represents a very diverse group of people. And I started off by looking into how their perception of their environment is different than, you know, maybe a civilian like myself. So I reached out to Clint. I was really fortunate to be able to meet him, to get a really good understanding of how the military trains their personnel to observe their surroundings, to really assess them for dangers.
I think a huge part of fighting inside of buildings is psychological. I mean, you always have that threat in a combat zone of possibly facing death, and everybody deals with that in a different way. I think the only way to truly deal with it, and I can't speak for everybody, but on a personal level, is you eventually come to a point where you're so mentally exhausted thinking about the possibilities of not being here tomorrow that you kind of disengage. You accept it to an extent, and that makes life easier. But CQB is extremely stressful because...
But does it make it more difficult when you come back?
It does. I did not spend a lot of time in public when I came back. That was just a stressful time in general of my life. But from a military, going from a military lifestyle to a civilian lifestyle, there's a huge transition just in the way that you live your life. Obviously, the military is very structured. When you got to wake up, where you got to be, what you got to do, and then you go home at the end of the day, you know, wash, rinse, repeat. And then you come to a civilian lifestyle, and especially working with other civilians, that's a huge transition, and that's kind of what led me to seek help at the VA a year after I got out.
Not to criticize the VA, but did you find room for improvement in the design that you experienced?
Definitely. That's one of the things that got me so passionate about Matt's project when he first pitched it to me was, you know, I'd had that firsthand experience. And granted, I don't want this to be taken as like I was institutionalized or anything. They kept me for basically an observational period before they released me and then started, quote unquote, treating me. This project, when Matt came to me with it, it really hit home, and I wanted to give him as much assistance as I could in getting this to fruition.
All right, and Matt, so now what are you going to do with that? How are you going to make it better?
The real trick here is to realize that perception of the environment is what actually has meaning. When a veteran comes to something, you know, they're going to have their own unique experience that is going to cause them to react differently to their surroundings than another veteran or a civilian. So when we're thinking about design for facilitating mental health, particularly amongst this demographic, we have to consider how it is that, you know, they may react, what their life's experiences will contribute to that interaction. The environment that we design must be as easy to comprehend, as easy to understand as possible, to just reduce the amount of energy that anyone in the environment, but particularly somebody with a mental disorder that is more likely to become overwhelmed by their surroundings, reduce the effort that they have to exert to comprehend where they are and what kind of a situation they're in. And this is all encompassing. And it also sends a message. You know, when you walk into a friend's home and it's comfortable and there's, you know, a drink on the table for you, you know, and somebody opens the door for you, I mean, there's a message there. It says, I'm glad you're here. We're happy to have you. You know, we're glad you're you and that you're spending time with us. And that's the kind of message that architecture sends.
I'd like to thank our guests today, Edward Vega, Matt Finn, and Clint McMahon. Of course, we'd also like to thank our sponsors, Perkins & Will and Hirsch Bedner Associates. In honor of Memorial Day, we give thanks to all of those who gave their lives in service of this country and to all of those still serving. Enjoy a safe holiday weekend, and we'll see you next month.